Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles will be married next weekend, following what's been a legendary and well-documented courtship. This may be an auspicious time to remind ourselves of the original Camilla of legend and literature. Weekend Edition's Classics commentator Elaine Fantham, professor emerita at Princeton University, joins us from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Elaine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
What about this other Camilla? This was Virgil's character?
Yes. In the Aeneid, Camilla, the warrior queen, comes into Virgil's narrative as the warrior leader on the losing side, that is, the defending Italians as opposed to the invading Trojans. And Virgil breaks into his own narrative after she's been appointed as the commander to introduce the goddess Diana, you may see some irony in that in modern terms, who summons one of her attendant nymphs and tells her the story of this very exceptional woman. Camilla was the child of a king driven out from his own city, and as he fled into exile, he clutched his baby daughter, but the enemy, the former citizens, were gaining on him, and he came to a rushing river. The river Avesenus was in Spate, and he could have swum the river. That wasn't the problem. The problem was how to get the baby across. He bound the baby to his massive spear and uttered a prayer to Diana, I vow this child to you if you will see her safely across the river. And then he hurled the spear with all his mighty strength across the river, where it landed firmly in the ground, holding the baby safely in place. And he himself swam across and retrieved the baby. And he had the baby fed by a brood mare from a herd of wild horses. So the ancient Camilla had many associations with horses, which we, of course, also associate with the sports, polo and hunting and so on, mm-hmm. of the modern Camilla.
Of course, this is interesting because the modern Camilla we're talking about, I think the story goes around that she met Prince Charles at a polo match. She's part of the horsey set, I think it's safe to say. You know, so many people from a distance, Elaine, have talked about the fact that Prince Charles had what was frequently described as this fairy tale marriage to Diana. And then there are people who've said there's really something really very nice about these two very devoted old friends finally finding one another and the circumstances in their life to get together, and that this is, in its own way, a kind of classic love story.
Yes, this is a relationship of equals, people who are naturally have an affinity with each other. And I think it's very comforting to see this, as opposed to the artificial marriage of a mature prince to a very young and immature girl, which ended so sadly.
Is there some example in Greek mythology of a mature love?
We do have stories that celebrate long, happy marriages. Ovid in the Metamorphoses produces the most famous of them all, perhaps, Baucis and Philemon, the old peasants who are extremely poor and live in this tiny hut, and give whatever food they have to the disguised strangers, who are in fact the gods visiting them. And the gods say, after a very good meal, what can we do for you? And they ask to die together. And the gods arrange it so that when they reach the right age, they turn into two trees whose branches are entwined. And in Ovid's story, the traveller is shown these trees still happily entwined together.
Elaine, wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Scott.
Our classics commentator, Elaine Fantham, speaking to us from the CBC in Toronto.